You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the listener-supported broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for standing with us financially during this month of May. Some special friends of the ministry have provided a $300,000 matching grant, and every dollar you donate this month will be doubled. Learn more about how you can participate in this matching grant challenge when you go to drjamesdobson.org. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body." From the sexual revolution of the 1960s right on up through today, our young people are being fed a lie. It's something called the hookup culture, the no-strings-attached, physically intimate relationship culture with the promise of no impact whatsoever. Now, in reality, we grown-ups know the truth. We know there are many serious underlying repercussions to believing this lie. That's why it's so important to have a healthy view of sexuality from a biblical perspective. On today's classic edition of Family Talk, Dr. Dobson will be joined by Dr. Joe McElhaney to talk about this important subject and also his book called Hooked, The Brain Science on How Casual Sex Affects Human Development. Now, I want to caution parents that the content discussed here on the program today is for mature audiences only, so listener discretion is highly recommended. And now, here to further introduce today's guest is our own Dr. James Dobson.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and this is Family Talk, which is a division of James Dobson Family Institute. And I am pleased to tell you that we have a program that I think you're going to find very insightful. With me in the studio is one of my great friends and colleagues from the past. I've known him for 35 years. We've worked together through all those years. I'm referring to Dr. Joe McElhaney. Dr. McElhaney is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist. He's the founder and chairman of the Medical Institute for Sexual Health. He served on President George W. Bush's Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS. He's the author of a number of books. One of them is 1,250 Healthcare Questions Women Ask. And Dr. McElhaney and I sat down to talk about that book, and we recorded 10 programs in a row and recorded them. And the next morning, we came back together to finish the job. Do you remember that?
I remember, Dr. Dobson, you saying, "Are you ready for your life to change?" I was just a mere practicing doctor there in Austin, Texas. And did my life change after that time with you?
Was that our first time in the studio?
That was our first time in the studio with that book, 1,250 Health Care.
We didn't take a break or anything. I just remember going all day, and I was so fascinated by what you were saying, and the audience felt the same because we aired those programs repeatedly.
I still have people come up to me saying, well, I didn't recognize you when I saw you, but I recognize your voice when you opened your mouth.
You were with me a lot of other times, in addition to that, about how casual sex changes the brain and it becomes different. It leads to addictions that will follow a person throughout life. So we can't go back and re-say what we did there. But let's start with this. What has changed in the culture and in individuals since you were here 8 years ago and you wrote the book 10 years ago?
This horrible epidemic of pornography that we're now experiencing. That's one of the things that we saw was different today than 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we didn't even talk about pornography. It really was there. We knew it was common, but it wasn't public. The public was not experiencing the problems of pornography then like we do now. Today, pornography has swept across our country, especially for our young people, partly because of iPhones. More than half of pornography now is being viewed on personal devices such as iPhones and laptops and and computers and so forth. And it's a disaster. And people do get dopamine kick out of watching pornography, which then leads them to become addicted to it because you want more and more and more of that stimulus. You want more and more and more of that dopamine kick. And if you watch more and more pornography, it leads you to that.
You have written a paper called The New Sexual Revolution.
Yeah.
Is that the title of it?
Yeah, it is.
So we're in worse shape now than 10 years ago in that regard, as a nation.
You know, I think we really are. There were two or three things that we've seen as we wrote this book, the new version of it. One is—
What's the title of it?
The title is Still Hooked. Yeah. And so we decided not to change
updated.
The title. I don't remember the subtitle. I'm sorry.
The brain science on how casual sex affects human development and so on.
Right.
I know it better than you do.
You do.
Because I studied it.
Well, I just wrote it. Casual sex really is destructive when we think of it in the terms of casual sex when people aren't married or just treating it as just another act, like drinking a glass of water or something like that.
You haven't gotten into sexually transmitted diseases and what happens there.
Well, you know, I was thinking about what happens, because today more than half of people have had sexual intercourse before they get married. It may be like 90%. One article I read said 90% of people have had sex before they get married. There are some real problems with that, and we could just tick them off. One is disease, because if people aren't married or having multiple partners, they get disease. They can get pregnant. Then the pregnancy can keep a girl, usually it's a girl that's left with the baby, from even completing high school or from completing college. There's an enormous epidemic of depression and even suicide ideation. They say about 10% of college kids have had the thought of committing suicide. Good studies that show that a lot of that depression in college is related to kids that have started having sex. So we see this cascade of problems from becoming involved in sexual behavior outside of marriage. On the other hand, when people start becoming involved in sex as married people, it's a trajectory up. It improves people's lives. It makes them more happy. It produces children and family and what I think we're all here to be a part of. It helps our lives flourish.
Well, it's the way it was designed. I mean, this is by God's design, and He told us that it should be expressed in this particular way and none other.
A goal that I've had is to help people flourish in life. It's not just been specifically to help them not get sexually transmitted disease, which was sort of the original goal of the Medical Institute that I started back in 1992. My idea was to help people flourish. And we know that the first area of life that can help them flourish is to come to know Jesus Christ personally. Mm. Because if they do that, then they're going to have the source of wisdom, of knowledge, of truth. When they have that, then as they make life choices, they're going to base those life choices on what's really true and right, which is what you just said. When we follow God's plan, which is clearly laid out in Scripture, then our lives are improved, they flourish, they do better.
Joe, talk about what the secular culture has done to warp the views of intimacy, how it interferes with long-term bonding.
To talk about connectedness is really vital, and I think that's really what you're pointing out here in this question. Connectedness is an innate need of human beings. If we are not connected, we are not totally, fully functioning human beings. What happens when people start having sex outside the bonds of marriage is because of the dopamine kick, because of the addictive nature of sex, people then will usually start having other sexual partners. As a matter of fact, they've shown if a kid starts having sex when they're 15 or younger, by the time they're in their 20s, the average number of sexual partners they've had is 5. This makes sex nothing but just a physical act like an animal. There's no intimacy there. There's no connectedness that goes on.
Nothing special about it.
There's nothing special about it. It's just like any other physical act someone might do. So what's happening since, as we said earlier, it seems like most people have had sex before they get married. They then are more likely to have multiple partners. Then when they get married, they're more likely to divorce because their brain has been molded to believe that it's okay to turn over sexual partners and have others. Intimacy is lost in all that. It's destroyed. And I think that is what has led to this enormous epidemic of divorce we have in our society and our culture today, Dr. Dobson.
Define hooking up.
Hooking up. Kids actually, in studies they've done where they've interviewed kids, they say, well, what's hooking up? They say, well, it's kissing, or well, it's just going out, or it's having sex, or it's having oral sex. And by the way, about 50% of college kids have had oral sex in the past month. That's hooking up. So hooking up is this sort of physical thing, but it's also without any requirement for connectedness. In other words, a person hooks up, they have no obligation to that person they had sex with or had oral sex with. They go on about their business the next day, maybe hook up with somebody else the following day, again, without any kind of connectedness, which again cuts at what we are as human beings, for the idea of really flourishing, of really having a good life.
That statistic in regard to oral sex really concerns me.
Yeah.
Many young people choose that in order to avoid the consequences of intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't know is sexually transmitted diseases occur in the mouth, and a high percentage of them will carry those for the rest of their lives if their lives are cut short, in fact.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, one of the most communicable to sexually transmitted diseases is human papillomavirus, which is spread by oral sex and vaginal sex, and also can be spread with fingers in the wrong place. But with oral sex, we have an epidemic now going on of cancer of the oral pharynx from human papillomavirus, which is passed by oral sex, which kids are having these days. And not just kids, but people in their 20s.
Joe, nobody seems to believe that. Young people are impervious to that message. They don't believe there are dangers of this, what's called toxic sexuality.
And, Dr. Dobson, the thing that got me into this was, I had a very busy practice in Austin, Texas. Very busy. I got involved in the early days of infertility care. When laparoscopy came along, I introduced that procedure in the Central Texas area because it was a new procedure, gave me the ability and other doctors' ability to look in and see women's internal pelvic organs. So we'd laparoscope these ladies that were infertile, and it would look like somebody had poured glue on their fallopian tubes and ovaries, and that was scar from primarily chlamydia that they had been infected with back in high school or college. It was the most common reason for a woman to be infertile back then. It's the second most common reason still today for women to be infertile.
What's number one?
Today, number one is ovarian failure or ovarian inadequacy, where women, because they're getting married later today, their ovaries are producing less eggs, and so it's more hard for them to get pregnant. So that speaks also to the whole marriage thing, that young people are putting marriage off into their 30s, and it can cost them the ability to ever have a child unless they can afford in vitro fertilization and those procedures.
All of these things are cultural. They're not just physical. They are cultural or ideas that are spread among the young people, and they're all doing it, so it must be okay.
That's right. And yet it's spreading these problems. You know, that leads to one of the other things that we saw from the writing of Hooked 10 years ago to today. As we did the research today, we realized that back then there tended to be a little bit of shame. The girls particularly talked about the walk of shame. If they were in a guy's dorm room, had sex, the next morning they get up and walk back to their dorm, and they called it the walk of shame. Nobody talks about that sort of thing anymore. It's like there's no shame. There's no guidance to what is really good or bad about sex. It just is something to participate in. And yet, Dr. Dobson, like you've been implying, they still, with oral sex, get cancer of the throat sometimes. They can become sterile. There's no decreased number of kids now that are infertile because of chlamydia. As a matter of fact, the sexually transmitted diseases today are affecting 20 million people in this country, and there are only 330 million people that live in this country. It's an extremely common thing. And then that's beside the point of pregnancy. When people cohabit, about 20% of those girls are going to be pregnant within the first year of cohabitation, and cohabitation relationships usually break up. And so the girl's left with a baby, and like we implied earlier, often when they get pregnant, have a child, they don't get support from the dad of the child, and they end up not even finish high school a lot of times. So we see all these problems from this commonly accepted approach to sex. And actually, you know, Dr. Dobson, you and I are said by people who disagree with us that we're crazy.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are crazy. We're the ones that are giving guidance to what life can really flourish, how it can really be good if they just make good choices.
Does it frustrate you, Joe, that many of the public school sex education programs imply that this is really expected and that's what everybody's doing and just do it as a safe sex matter that you can really avoid the consequences? You can't avoid the emotional and physical consequences, mm-hmm. and you certainly cannot avoid inevitably sexually transmitted diseases that are associated with it, even if you use so-called protection.
Yeah, exactly right. And there are two or three aspects of what you just said that might deserve discussion. One is that when you start talking about sex being able to be practiced in any way you want to, with anybody you want to, there's a deterioration that happens with that. And what's happened with these sex ed courses, and they drive me nuts because they're not comprehensive sex ed. They never talk about how high the failure rate is with condoms and contraceptives and so forth. They never tell the truth. But the other thing is you get into the whole LGBT problem, which is a strong element of many of these courses. And so they start teaching these things to younger and younger people. I was called to Hawaii because they were going to start teaching anal sex to kids in kindergarten out in Hawaii.
Oh, come on.
And they wanted to
That makes me sick.
No, teach anal sex, what it is, to kids in kindergarten. And so what we see is, as there's no guidelines to this from their perspective about sex, then why not teach it, any form of sex, even to kids in kindergarten? That's how bad it gets. And it frustrates me to death that there's not this outrage in this country. I think there needs to be a new sex revolution. See, I think that most American parents for sure would agree with us if they could just understand what we're saying here today, Dr. Dobson. And I think that everybody that's interested in this whole area ought to start saying, we've got to start writing letters. We've got to change this culture for the good of our kids and our families.
I don't understand why parents are so tolerant in this regard. You know, you bring these children into the world, you pour your lives into them, you would give your very existence to the preservation of those little kids. You try to protect them from all the things that could happen to them. You won't let them go into a bathroom alone. You do all this stuff, and then you pack them up as 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. You send them off to school. These kids know nothing about life, nothing at all, many of them, about moral principles or anything related to it. And you turn them over to educators who begin talking to them about transgender stuff. Are you kidding me? Telling a 5-year-old that he can choose whether he wants to be a boy or a girl and that it can change. And so make your choice. And I promise not to even call you a boy or girl, waiting for you to tell me. That's such nonsense. It makes me angry. And where are the parents who don't step in and say, you will not do that to my child?
It's evil. It is pure evil. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it has to be the parents coming forth and protecting their children, even if it means confronting the people in the schools and these sex ed programs that are so wrong.
The courts probably will come down on the side of the educators. But, man, I've said many times, and people get upset about this, but I say get them out of there.
Yeah.
If you can't
Can I say something about your background, Dr. Dobson?
Please.
I think your father sacrificed for you. To help be a better father for you.
No question.
And I think that what parents may have to do today is sacrifice for the good of their children, which is a hard thing to do. For example, some really good research, a brand new researcher came out showing that mothers need to be with their babies as much of the time as they can for the first 3 years of life, and she has just been pillared. She's a Jewish liberal person, but her research has clearly shown that babies need the calming effect of the mother to be with them to grow up without the anxiety. She thinks a lot of ADHD and these other problems that young people are having are because mothers are not there with their kids that first 3 years all the time.
That's politically incorrect.
I know it. And she says it's the oxytocin in the mother's body that communicates to the children during those first 3 years the calmness that they need to live a healthy life without all these problems that develop. My point there is your dad sacrificed for you. parents today may need to sacrifice for their goods of their kids. There's research that shows, for example, that moms need to be with those babies, those children, the first 3 years of their lives to allow them to develop in a healthy way.
What you're talking about in regard to my father is a story I've told many times because it needs to be heard. But my 16th year, I got pretty testy with my mother. My dad was an evangelist. He's gone a lot. And I was pressing the limits a little bit. And I was really on the edge. I could have gone farther. I never went into outbroken sin. You know, Shirley and I were both virgins when we got married. We didn't drink. We didn't smoke. We didn't do a lot of those things. But I was heading in that direction. My father saw it. And he had 4 years slate as an evangelist in the larger churches of our denomination. And when he found out about it, and my mother, in a telephone conversation, said to him, "I really do need you." He came home, sold our house. We went to South Texas. He took a church so he could be with me. And we hunted and fished together, and he pulled me back.
It changed your life, didn't he?
But guess what?
Yeah.
He never recovered professionally. Because by the time I got through high school and he was ready to go back into the evangelistic field, younger men were there who didn't know him. They knew not Joseph. And so his whole world changed. He never made a comment about it and never looked back because he poured himself into me. And I'm telling you, he saved me.
Well, and look what a blessing through that commitment to you. He's been through you to millions of people, Dr. Dobson, and he has. Mm. His life was fulfilled through you.
Well, he spent a lot of times praying for me. I
know
can tell
he did
you
that. Our parents today need to realize that. You know, as you've talked about that, I've realized that most marriages today have started as cohabitation. But a lot of times cohabitation doesn't lead to marriage. More than half the time it doesn't. Kids born into these cohabiting relationships, you would never see that kind of sacrifice on the part of the parents of the kids. It just wouldn't happen in those cohabiting relationships. It happens in a marriage relationship where a mother and father have sealed that relationship with sex, yes, but also with a commitment to each other and then to their children to sacrifice for those kids. And I think that's what we're going to have to start seeing in this culture today to turn it around.
As a parent, when you step up for your kids, especially in the area of human sexuality, you can certainly begin to turn the culture around. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's interview with Dr. Joe McElhaney here on Family Talk. Now, these two men have been on the front lines, fighting against obscenity, promiscuity, and pornography for many, many years. Don't miss the conclusion of their powerful conversation and their timeless wisdom coming up on tomorrow's broadcast here on Family Talk. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Dr. McElhaney's ministry or his book called Hooked, just visit our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. And while you're on our website, we also encourage you to check out our blog tab as well. There you'll find entries from Dr. Dobson and other previous guests writing on issues like parenting strong-willed children, religious liberties, single living, and much, much more. By the way, if you haven't already heard, I mentioned at the start of the program today, during the month of May, we have a $300,000 matching grant in place. This is thanks to some special friends of our ministry here at Family Talk. What that means is that every dollar you donate to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute this month will instantly be doubled. A $50 donation becomes $100. $100 becomes $200. $200 becomes $400. You can do the math from there. Just think, every dollar you donate today and during the month of May will go twice as far to equip parents and educate kids and to strengthen marriages. Now, to give a gift online, go to drjamesdobson.org. If you'd like to give a gift using your smartphone, use the JDFI app available either at the Google Play or Apple Store. Or give us a call at 877-732-6825. Our customer care team is standing by to take your donation, as well as to pray with and for you if that's what you need. Again, that toll-free number to call, 877-732-6825. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and on behalf of the entire team here at Family Talk, I want you to know that we are very thankful for your prayers and also your continued financial support. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
With today's Dr. Dobson Minute, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Let me share a story that's worth remembering. It began when a man named Kim met a young woman named Chris Ann. Her nickname was Cricket. The two instantly connected, and before long they were courting. In April of 1993, Kim got down on one knee and presented Cricket with a ring, and they were married that September. But 10 weeks later, a serious car accident left Cricket in a coma. Unfortunately, however, her memory was severely damaged. The last year was wiped from her consciousness, including all memories of Kim and their wedding. But Kim refused to give up on the bride who considered him a stranger. He started at the beginning, courting Cricket one day at a time. And on Valentine's Day, 1996, 2 years after their wedding, he once again got down on one knee and proposed to Cricket. They renewed their vows in May of that year.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.